On today's episode, we're going to take a little trip into the time machine and head back to a time when Elvis was at the top of the Billboard charts, when color television was first introduced, and when Sputnik was first launched into space. Welcome to the 1950s. While there were a lot of historic moments in the 1950s, a big one for residents of Milwaukee was the opening of the Mayfair Mall. Located 9.6 miles northwest of the city center in a suburb called Wauwatosa, a shopping mall complex was built on 105 acres of sprawling land. It was an open-air mall that debuted 22 stores when it was dedicated on September 19, 1958. This was only the second mall-type shopping complex Milwaukee County had ever seen, and it was big. Inaugural festivities at the mall featured an international theme, promoting the slogan, "The Wonderful World of Mayfair." Marianne Mobley, the 1959 Miss America, released a white pigeon at the inauguration. Embassy representatives from 12 nations were present at this historic opening, as well as foreign exchange students from 21 countries around the world. The mall was anchored by a three-level Chicago-based Marshall Field store, the first one ever built outside of Illinois. Learner Shops, Toy Fair Toys and Hobbies, Kay Campbell's Ladies Wear, and the Pan D Restaurant were all among the many offerings that Mayfair provided. Citizens of Milwaukee would dress in their Sunday best to visit the mall when it first opened. As the 1960s arrived, Mayfair introduced a groundbreaking new service, Playfair. This was a magical safe haven where mothers could drop off their kids so that they could shop while knowing their little ones were having fun and staying safe on the slides and in the sandboxes. The mall changed with the times, and in the 1970s, Mayfair Mall became a fully enclosed mall. But it wasn't until the 1980s Mayfair really started to find a new stride. A state-of-the-art remodel ushered in new Mayfair, and with it, a host of incredible new offerings. The biggest of which was an ice skating rink, known as the Ice Chalet, located right in the center of the mall. Just above the ice rink, on the second floor of the now-enclosed Mayfair, a McDonald's that looked down on the rink and the happy skaters below. But this was no ordinary McDonald's. Here, in this mini Milwaukee Rockefeller Center, there was a magical McDonald's that featured imported Italian tiles on the walls and chandeliers that looked like antlers. In the center of this McDonald's was a cozy fireplace to warm up guests who had just come in from the cold rink. This McDonald's was such a hotspot, there were often 10 to 12 cashiers working the front lines to handle the long lines and crowds that would show up here on a daily basis. Around the mall, walking paths wove around streaming rivers that were there, filled with water and dozens of koi fish. There were beautiful wooden bridges all throughout the thoroughfare and a glass-bottomed gazebo that was the romantic hotspot to take your high school sweetheart on a Friday night. The offerings at Mayfair couldn't be beat in the 80s. Farrell's Ice Cream, KB Toys, Radio Shack, Spencer's Gifts, Soaps and Scents, Marshall's, and a high-end restaurant called Captain's Steak Joint, where children wore pirates' hats and families came together to feast on the best cheese fondue in the world. Mayfair Mall had truly become a destination in the greater Milwaukee area. People traveled from near and far to experience the magic of this mall because it was a place to hang after school, a place to be with your family and friends. It was a place where people felt safe. But as the 80s came to a close, the novelty of the mall started to wear off. Mayfair Mall hosted its final skaters on May 21st, 1986, and the Ice Chalet was demolished as part of a $15 million remodel. This is where many people say that Mayfair Mall lost its spark. The mall still did well, but it wasn't unique anymore. There were no more ice skating rinks, koi fish rivers, no glass-bottomed gazebos. It was just another mall. While critics say that the $15 million remodel took away from Mayfair's unique character, it did bring about something new, a food court. The food court would usher in a new era at Mayfair Mall, and Mayfair Mall's identity, as a result, started to change. It attracted more high school kids as a place to hang after the final bell let out of school, a place to go on dates at the movie theater, find a dress for the school dance, and maybe even grab a roast beef sandwich from the Arby's in the food court. The Arby's where Ashley Love would eventually work until the day she died. Join us today as we take a deep dive into the world of Mayfair Mall and Arby's. Right now on Love and Justice. Welcome to Love and Justice. I'm your host, Kyle Olson. Today, we are heading to Mayfair Mall, to the famed food court where an Arby's once stood for over two decades. Brian Olson was the head manager at the Mayfair Mall's Arby's store and was Ashley's boss. I know this is a question that people often have for the two of us, but despite us sharing the same last name, we are not actually related or even twins. But in all seriousness, I really do appreciate you coming on today and sharing with us.
It took me a while because, like, today, before we did this, I actually ran out to her grave for a little bit. I looked right at her name and I said, what am I going to do? What am I going to say? Help me say something not stupid or break down talking about this. This is kind of where it gets emotional for me. Ashley's birthday is one day after mine. Ashley's murder was on my dad's birthday. Ash's grave is 50 yards from my mom's grave. There's so many connections. I visit the grave site often on my own. There's not once since that day that I haven't stopped over by her grave just to take a second and remember those times. You don't realize at the time that it all happens, like how it's going to affect you later in life. I ask myself sometimes too, when I'm standing there at the grave, was it a customer potentially? Did she make somebody mad and they followed her home? Was there something that I could have done to prevent it? Scheduling. I was the last person other than her family to be around her that night as we closed the night before.
Ashley was murdered in the early hours of October 6th. The night before, she had worked at Arby's and closed the restaurant with Brighton, making Brighton one of the last people to ever see Ashley alive. Let's talk a little bit about Mayfair Mall, where you and Ashley ultimately were working together.
First thing that comes to my mind with the mall is they put up their Christmas stuff way too early, and it would annoy all of us. Like, it's not even Halloween yet, and you're playing Jingle Bells. Like, stop it. I know we're trying to drive revenue and stuff up here, but please, if I got to listen to this all the way through January, I'm going to go insane. But, I mean, as a mall overall, it had a lot of traffic. And you got to realize 10 years ago, the whole Amazon thing and everything else hasn't taken off yet. Everybody was there. The biggest traffic that you would get would be the younger crowds. High schoolers, you know, maybe even early college kids and stuff like that. So a lot of our clientele were younger kids. But we always would joke around because the basement of that mall was a mystery to us. It almost was like there was another mall underneath that mall. We used to talk about that there was possibly a pool or an ice skating rink down there, because at times we would go down there and kind of explore. You weren't really supposed to, but we'd want to see what was going on. And there was like shop fronts and stuff in the basement. And we found like locker rooms down there that were like, okay, was this a pool locker room or what was going on? I know we looked into the history of the mall in the past. I couldn't tell you what it was, but there was like a post office. We knew that for sure. But most of the things down there were turned into like storage units. Exploring it was something we always did because a lot of it was just dark and shut down and cold, and you're kind of curious, you know.
Mayfair Mall had a lot of history, so what you're saying here makes sense. Tell me a little bit more about the food court where you all worked here at Mayfair.
The food court itself was big compared to other things that I've seen. You'd basically walk in the entrance and go up the escalator, and to the right was the food court. You had a new China buffet right away. on the right, nobody would ever eat there because we didn't like their food. You'd always want to go to Little Tokyo, which had the better food. Rocky Rococo's. Then to our right was a Burger King. Chicken Now. They had this lemon pepper chicken that Ashley would always order, and that's why I remember it. And next to that was a Cajun Big Easy, then a Subway, and then we're going back around to Sbarro and Cinnabon. It was big. From the Arby's standpoint, is I feel we were one of the bigger ones.
Did the mall Arby's differ from other Arby's restaurants in that area at the time?
We never carried the specials that you'd see back in the day. I think it's 5 for $10 now. I saw Arby's commercial the other day. They're like, come in 5 for $10. I'm like, dang, like back in the day it was 5 for $5. Like, what? Wow. Like, our roast beef sandwiches were always like 30 cents more in comparison. If you'd go up the road to a drive through, we would serve coffee to the mall walkers, as we call them. Just the, you know, the elderly that would come in, they'd walk the mall for exercise and everything. They were the most pickiest people ever because if their coffee was in a certain temperature or if it wasn't like, you know, whatever, like they would just nonstop complain about it.
So did you and Ashley first meet at the Mayfair Mall Arby's?
Mayfair Mall Arby's was where I first met Ashley in person. I had previously met her father, Joe. I had met when there was meetings at the Arby's on National Avenue in West Allis and talked to them a lot. Now, I had interactions with Ashley on the phone because, for instance, there were times that we might need to go pick up a box of, for instance, curly fries that we are running out of. So the stores would trade between each other items and in order to be sure they had that product if we were running low or we didn't order enough that week. So, but that was my first real interaction with her, was getting handed Mayfair Mall to run as a general manager. Ashley was one of the shift managers I quote unquote inherited when I came over there. And the responsibilities were almost the same when it came to like inventory and stuff. My responsibilities just differed in like when it came to the payroll, when it came to actual ordering the food that we needed in and scheduling duties and stuff in that regard. Also setting up training plans for new employees. But Ashley had a hand in all of that because I liked to keep her involved, and she was really, really, really good at training new hires that came in. And that's something she really cared about, was getting new people up to speed. Ashley's passion when it came to Arby's was something deep as a family versus being a place to work. She treated every person in there as a brother or sister rather than an employee. And it was more on her to make people succeed in the roles that they were doing within their job rather than it was for her to advance herself.
Were there times when Ashley and her mother, Tammy, would work together at Mayfair?
Oh my goodness. So there was a time period that we were short on employees at Arby's and Mayfair, and Ashley would call her mom to have her mom come in and work. They were a riot, to say the least, because the amount of jokes that they would say and amount of laughing that they would do when they were working together was the funniest thing ever. Ashley would never tell me when she would do this either. She would just call her mom out of the get-go because she felt like they're a little bit more busy. Wouldn't tell me that her mom would come in and work at my store, not even ask permission, didn't care. Like, her mom would just show up and start closing, you know? So there was one night I went in there and I see her mom in the back line, because that's the position for the person that was making the sandwiches. You're working on the back line tonight. And Ashley's on the register, and Ashley hated the register, by the way. And I go to Ashley, I'm like, oh, you're on the register tonight. And she goes, yeah, my mom doesn't want to be up here, so I got to be up here. And she's got like this pouty face. And not only is her mom like a manager at Arby's, she's also basically telling Ashley, hey, I'm your mother, you have to go work the register. So it's just like, it made me laugh at that point, because I'm like, okay. And from that point forward, like, there's a couple times where Ashley's mom would come in and help us out, and it was always a blessing to have her there, because Tammy Love was like that glowing angel you would see when she came in, because no matter how bad things were, Tammy would somehow find a way to laugh about it and just make the night easier on us, so that it didn't feel like you were working, but you were just there having a good time. And she was like a mother figure, I would say, to a lot of us. She was almost like the Arby's mom at that point, you know, Ashley's mom being the Arby's mom. In my opinion, her and Ashley were much alike when it came to Arby's, with caring for people and everything.
I want to switch gears now. How did you first hear about what had happened to Ashley?
Eric was my boss, my district manager, while I was running Arby's at Mayfair. So we didn't know anything yet in the morning, but there's cameras that, and Eric was really a techie guy, and he would always peek in to see what was going on. And he peeked into ours, and it was already 9:30 in the morning. We should have been there all normally, typically between 7:30 and 8:30 is when we get in. Lights were off. Nobody was there. Ashley was supposed to open. And it's like, oh my God, what's going on? Try calling Ashley's cell phone, left her a voicemail, nothing. Eric did some digging and he gave me a phone call. And I was standing in front of my mother-in-law. And I was actually with my mother-in-law last night. We were discussing this. And I just broke down to my knees and I crying. I didn't know what to do. I knew I had to go into now to do what she would have done.
That's got to be really hard to be kind of coming to reality with what has just happened, but then to also, in the same breath, be essentially saying, the show must go on, right?
Yeah.
I can only imagine.
Yeah.
How difficult was that day?
I had to build up enough composure to be able to go in and not only catch up on the stuff that we were, you know, we didn't have roast beef to serve when we opened, obviously, because nobody was there. The detectives ended up showing up, started pulling us all out and asking us questions. I couldn't tell you what they were asking me. I don't remember. Eric came rushing in to help me out to try to get things open. But if there was ever a day where we gave poor customer service, it was that day because nobody wanted to be there. We could care less at that point.
I can only imagine. How did you guys get through that day?
The most beautiful thing that happened was everybody that was close to her showed up to help out, to get things done that we needed to get done, because they just wanted to be there at that moment at Arby's and Mayfair. We all knew we needed each other to shoulder it at that moment. We all knew that at this point, there was no way that we could handle walking in someplace that Ashley cared about, doing a job with just a couple of us. So Lon showed up, Sam showed up, Heather showed up, Jessica showed up. Most of these people weren't even on the clock. It was just supposed to be Ashley and Austin at the time showing up that morning. And everybody ended up coming into work, and we were all just slowly moving around, getting pulled out one at a time by the detectives. It was very touching that we almost came in and it was like, you're holding hands together, trying to do what Ashley cared about, which was being there and doing her job to the greatest that she potentially could. And we tried to replicate that while we're all crying, trying to play some music.
Wow. That's amazing.
The biggest memory I have of that day is all the employees at Arby's in Mayfair showing up for each other, because that was how we all related to Ashley at that moment. That was the one place we could be where she was supposed to be, that we could do. And that's kind of what pushed us through the day.
That's beautiful. Almost like Ashley was a bit of a unifier. Now, shortly after Ashley died, police came out and said that Ashley may have been seeing a secret friend. What do you make of that?
I thought it was baloney. Ashley wasn't one to actually like talk about boys in any form of wanting to be within a relationship with anybody. So when I heard that there was a potential male that she was seeing interested in, or vice versa, to me, I was like, okay, she's either around these girls, or she's here at work, or she's at home. I don't know where she had the time or place to actually see this person or who this person was. Unless it's somebody she met at a party that other people are aware of, I could see that, but I don't know. Like, it didn't come out from somebody who worked at Arby's. It had to be somebody that she met externally.
What do you think actually happened to Ashley Love?
There was many times that we would get some customers up there that were belligerent if something was wrong with their item. she wouldn't take shit from anybody. Excuse my language. She, if a customer had an order wrong, even if Ashley believed that she got it right, she wouldn't take it from them. She would tell them, no, I made this right. What are you talking about? I'll make you a new one, but I'm just letting you know I did this right from what you asked, and you didn't ask for this. She wouldn't take crap from anybody. Yeah, she was compassionate and stuff like that, but she never bent over just to have somebody slap her in the face without her actually like justifying why the order was incorrect. Because of that, maybe she said something that motivated somebody like, oh, you're not going to talk to me that way. That's my outlook on it. Is she, because of how much she cared about the quality of stuff that she did, things in her life where she defended herself and her decisions, she might have defended herself in a standpoint where it actually ended up making somebody angry enough to do that. I have received threats before, and it related many times where we would wonder if it was actually one of these clients that actually just got mad because they didn't get the right sandwich or not that did this.
Do you think that an angry customer really could have done something to Ashley?
Somebody probably would be stupid enough to be that mad that they had something wrong with their Arby's order, that they would follow her home. And that's what I think about all the time. I could have walked out and been right in front of this guy with that motive to go and kill her and follow them home. I remember Ashley getting threatened by somebody that they would hurt her because of an order, a customer. I remember it happening. But I remember Ashley coming back and kind of laughing about how this guy literally said he would jump over the counter and punch her in the face because of whatever was wrong with his order at the time.
That's pretty wild. And it's a lot to hear when you are just kids, right?
I remember this happening and us just blowing it off to the wind. People in that mall would be crazy.
People at Mayfair Mall were certainly known for being colorful characters. As a part of prepping for this podcast, our team did a deep dive into Ashley's Facebook page and came across a unique discovery. On February 20th and 21st of 2009, two people commented on Ashley's Facebook wall.
Hey, how was work today? Hopefully you were safe from that creep at Little Tokyo.
Be careful at work today. Do not talk to that creepy guy.
I've asked Brighton and others who worked with Ashley about this, and nobody seems to remember or have context as to the creeper who worked at Little Tokyo, which was a Japanese restaurant next to Arby's in the Mayfair Mall food court. Was someone at Mayfair actually stalking Ashley? Would someone really have been crazy enough to follow Ashley home for not making a beef and cheddar sandwich properly? Perhaps there was an angry customer, or perhaps an angry coworker. I've talked to numerous people about this potential theory, and not everybody wanted to be on the record. But in a nutshell, while working at Arby's, Ashley was once threatened by an employee who we are calling Rachel, who was fired for allegedly stealing. Moments after Rachel was fired on her last day of work at Arby's, she allegedly looked at Ashley and said, quote, "I'm going to blow your head off." Tammy shares what she remembers hearing about this.
So this girl that worked with Ashley, she had become part of their little group for a while, would go out bowling sometimes, but she became very odd. To put it that way, she became made Ashley feel very uncomfortable. She would like take things and steal things. One time, I saw this myself. She claimed she had a broken leg, had a fake cast on. It would take it off like when she went outside. It was very odd. Ashley, with stuff like that, she wouldn't put up with. If you're stealing, she's gonna call you out on it, and she did. Ashley was a shift manager, so she was above her. It became known to us and to Ashley that a lot of things at Mayfair Mall Arby's started to go missing. Like, you know, not huge amounts, but a little money here, maybe a little product here. And it became known that everything came back to Rachel. The Mayfair Mall management decided that Rachel had to be let go for the stealing that was that she was doing. So I remember Ashley telling me weeks after she had been let go that Ashley and her friends ran into her in the mall, just walking, and she said to Ashley, "I'm going to blow your effing brains out." Ashley, being Ashley, told me it like nonchalantly. I'm like, "You need to report that. Ashley, that's a threat." And of course, you know, she's like, "No, she ain't going to do nothing. It's just her talking." Well, what happened? I mean, who's to say?
Was "I'm going to blow your head off" a figure of speech? Did Rachel actually have intentions of doing any harm? It's hard to say without any further details from the Milwaukee Police Department. With the case files being unobtainable and the Milwaukee PD declining to speak further on the subject, the Rachel lead was essentially dropped without any further explanation. But believe it or not, angry customers and angry coworkers aren't the only theories that Brighton, Ashley's boss, has heard.
I know some people had the theory that it was somebody she met at a party or something like that.
This is now the second time that we are hearing about these parties. Did Ashley meet someone unsavory at these parties?
I'm going to keep this nameless, but I was aware of some of the co-workers being involved in some illicit drug activities at that time, too. I don't know if that played a key into any of it. Ashley was clean as a whistle, but young kids at a party, who knows what was said or what happened. They were all partying all the time together. There was one time they went out and they must have been up super late. And I was there opening it and they were coming in to close. I don't know if they went home or not ever from the party. I think they went to this party or wherever they were at after work the night before. Slept most of the day because they were consuming too much Coca-Cola and Pepsi and those types of products. alcoholic drinks, more or less.
So, safe to say, there was a lot of drinking that happened at these parties.
I was never at one of those events, but my gut feeling is Ashley could have said something or not done something for somebody that was at that parties with that pissed him off and followed Ashley home that night. I don't know who even suggested doing the partying or stuff together, but if it wasn't a random customer that got mad at that, it was something that had to do with that party. And those are the only two outlooks. Either A, a random customer that got mad at Ashley, or it's something or someone from that partying.
Was it just drinking that happened at these parties, or was there more going on?
Not that I'm trying to throw anybody under the bus. Like I said, there were illicit drugs involved at those parties. Cocaine, heroin, other stuff too. So you can't tell me that somebody who was there did not have the mindset to be able to do something like that. I'm old enough to understand it. You don't want to be the rat, but let's say it flat out now, like, there's something that fucking happened. There's definitely something that happened at one of these parties, if it wasn't a customer, that ticked somebody off to do this to Ashley. Out of doubt. There's no way it would be anything else, because Ashley was not the person to do anything in her life other than Arby's, schoolwork, and be at home until they started doing that. There was nothing else she was doing until the partying came. I'll say it flat out. Maybe she turned a guy down at one of these parties that was a little bit in the Night of the Wolf mood, you know, and that pissed that dude off. Because, like I said, Ashley wasn't that into guys. Maybe a guy was interested in her. And she was turning him down, and that pissed him off. And with the illicit drugs and everything else that were involved at that time, I could see it. For sure.
Multiple people have mentioned to me their concerns off the record about these gatherings. From what I'm able to piece together, many of these parties happened at a girl who we'll call Valerie's house, which was not far from the Loves. Many of Ashley's friends have talked to me about the last party that Ashley ever attended, which occurred just days before Ashley was murdered. Some people have shared anonymous concerns with me that these parties might have included people who didn't work at Arby's, including some of Valerie's family members, who were in their mid to late 20s.
According to calls that we received on our tip line, rumor has it that one of Valerie's family members, maybe a brother or a cousin, had a crush on Ashley Love. This begs a bigger question. Did this family member act on their crush? Or could Brighton's theory be true? And did Ashley, in fact, get involved with someone at one of these parties? Or could the opposite be true? Did Ashley turn someone down? And remember Rachel? Could she have been at one of these parties? And did she get involved with someone herself? If you have information that can help fill these gaps, I implore you to please call our hotline. It is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have some strong momentum with some incredibly strong leading theories, and we need to corroborate these stories that we're hearing. If you share something that can help us corroborate another person's story, this may be the missing puzzle piece that we need to solve this case once and for all. So please, if you know something, it's time to speak up. Pick up the phone and call the hotline now. For now, unfortunately, all this party talk leads to more questions than answers. Some of this is likely because, well, they were parties, and details of nights where people go get drunk and do drugs and other scandalous activities aren't always exactly the most vivid. On the flip side, some of these details might be difficult to find because they were closely guarded secrets by people who don't want this information coming out, even now, some 13 years later.
Whoever did do this has done it in the past before and has done it again, without a doubt. I don't think it was a one-off. I think this person has done egregious things to other people. This person knew where she lived. You look at it now, and this wasn't randomly going to somebody's house and shoot her. This was a direct retaliation over something. And I swear, yeah.
It's pretty frustrating, huh?
Fucking coward. There's a lot of anger when I start thinking about the actual event.
Tell me a little bit about Ashley's funeral. What do you remember? Did you go with your Arby's colleagues?
We all went to the funeral together. They brought in other employees from other stores to cover while we went there. That was probably one of the most, I want to call it, mind-blowing experiences for a funeral I've ever had. Tammy Love was screaming, "I love you, Ashley," everything else. And it was heart-wrenching, I want to say. Being there, where you almost didn't want to be there. Like, it was just, I don't know if I can handle this. After Ashley left, Laura Gartman was a manager at a different store that ended up coming to Arby's in Mayfair to be, I guess you'd call it, the replacement manager for Ashley. And one of her first questions was, "How can I ever live up to what Ashley was?" And I said, "You don't have to. Just be yourself, and you might have people come to you and want to talk. Don't feel you have to be this mother figure here, but just if anything ever gets to you where you feel that you can't handle being the quote-unquote replacement manager for Ashley, let me know." Laura would do things to try to strengthen the mentality of us while we were there. There are things that we would do and try to stick together for emotional support, I would say.
That had to be quite the bonding experience for you guys. This is something that would be memorable at any age, but you guys were all so young.
Do I continue to think about how they are doing? Yes, I do. And I always will. It's come across my mind. Do I want to throw a get-together trying to bring everybody back together? But I'm like, oh my God, I don't know. For me, there's a sense of pride knowing that I had an impact in some of these people's lives. And I wasn't perfect. I had a lot of problems myself that I was going through. Because being only 22 years old, you think you're an adult, but you're actually not, in my opinion. You're still learning. Where I wish I could almost take the mentality I had and the maturity I had now and go back and use that to help them cope through these situations that we went through at the time. You don't know really how you feel about it until the years down the line when you have that adult mentality to actually go back and look back at it all and realize this is what actually happened. This is what experience you went through, and you were too immature to realize how the emotions would fundamentally affect you into the future.
So, now that there's been time, what do you see when you look back?
The event that happened to Ashley made me, to this day, still wonder and subconsciously care for those that worked at Arby's and how are they doing with their life today. Like, I am always going to be curious and hopeful that they are able to carry on their lives after that event in a positive manner. And whatever they've gone through from that time period through now, if there's something I could ever say to any of them, one of them is, I'm still here to talk, regardless of all of us going in our different directions. And I'm like tearing up. Everybody has their own personal things they go through. And a lot of it comes later in life. A lot of the tragedy that you go through happens later in life, whether it's your parents, grandparents, other loved ones. To have something like that happen to some of these individuals that were that much more close to Ashley than I was, it breaks me, knowing how that affects me to this day, how they are doing and coping with it now. And that's what gets me the most, how it affected everybody else. That is what eats me alive the most about it.
How do you deal today with what happened back then?
I've separated myself from it all. It's something I rarely bring up anymore. Yeah, I was an Arby's GM. Yeah, I did this. Yeah, I did that. I force myself to almost forget that it happened. Not that I don't care, but it's one of those things where I just close up. I would say I closed the door on that chapter of my life.
Really?
Yeah. Every single year I get an invite from Tammy to go to, you know, the memorial that they have on a yearly basis. I've never showed up. At that time, I wanted to be the puzzle piece for them, to be that rock, almost like, I guess, a father figure now. And how does that relate to now, 10 years later, is I wish I had my maturity level I had now to go back and do more for them on a emotional shoulder to cry on with everything that I've had to deal with, you know, with my daughter and current events in my life now. It's just difficult to think about how the others are doing now. That's where I'm at with it. And it's hard for me to face them now and bring it up, because part of me, even though I felt like I wanted to be that puzzle piece in it, I felt like I failed in that aspect, because at the end of the day, it turned into still business as usual, even though everybody just went through that emotional trauma that was closer to her. I failed in possibly not giving people time off that they needed or anything else. And I don't know. I truly hope and pray that Jessica, Kayla, Heather, you know, the ones that were the closest to Ashley, are using that event as an emotional cornerstone to help them get through obstacles that they have in their life today. I said yes to doing this podcast because I care about the other individuals that were affected by it. And if this helps them cope through life after this event, it is my duty and my responsibility, as how I felt being the puzzle piece back in the day, for them to continue that and letting them know that, hey, I'm still here regardless of what you're going through, and you can always call me or reach out to me. I just hope our maturity levels have grown. If there is anything, even a hunch, or even if your mind's playing tricks on you, like I said mine was with the customer, just say it, because it's something that might match up with something somebody else said. And then you have a lead. So please, just be open-minded at this point. There's nothing to be afraid of when it comes to justice for Ashley. You don't have to be afraid.
I am happy to report that others are taking Brighton's advice to heart. Like Kia, a very close friend that's known Ashley since kindergarten. Like Brighton, Kia has had a lot of thoughts that have been on her mind. And she'll be sharing them all next time, right here on Love and Justice.
Ashley definitely wanted to be someone that she wasn't. Like, imagine Superman. He has, like, his little cover-up as Clark Kent because nobody could, you know that he's Superman. I feel like she was trying to something new. Things that were definitely different for her. The motive behind it really didn't start to make sense until I really, really got down and just thought about it. I never reported to the police. I was just scared. You know the saying, like, snitches get stitches? That's what I was feeling at that time. I never reported it at all.
Love and Justice is an official podcast of Magic Lamp Productions and is recorded all over the United States of America. This episode was executive produced, directed, and hosted by me, Kyle Olson. Co-executive producer, Noel Kane. Segment producer, Jessica Solomon. Producer, Maddie Rose. Associate producer, Miranda Schmidt. Editing by Cody Crabb. Production assistant, Natalie Izquierdo. A very special thanks to Tammy, Joe, Anthony, and Alex Love. Additional special thanks to Teresa Brockman, Terry Love, and Third Wheel Podcast Studio Los Angeles. If you have clues, this is your cue to give us a call on our hotline. Open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and rate it 5 stars. Every single review greatly helps our exposure and increases the odds that more people will listen, which will help get this case solved. So please, rate this podcast and share it with your friends today. It only takes a quick minute. Somebody knows something. Maybe not everything, but something. Chances are that somebody is in Milwaukee right now. It could be you. There is a cash reward of $5,000 for information provided that leads to the conviction of Ashley Love's killer or killers. Thanks for your support, and thanks for listening.